That warm, sunny weather that we all love and look forward to is right around the corner. So get outside instead of prepping and cooking indoors. I don't know about you all, but when the weather is nice, I just want to be doing more and prepping and worrying about my meals less, which is why I absolutely love Factor. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat and are perfect for any active lifestyle. They have 45 weekly menu options so you can pick your gourmet meals that fit your goals. They have options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. So it's easy to savor more this spring because Factor meals pack the flavor with none of the fuss. My mom and I have absolutely been loving having Factor in our lives. The meals are delicious and so easy to heat up and eat in no time at all. Especially since I'm not really that great in the kitchen, I love not having to worry about grocery shopping, about what to eat, about what's healthy. Factor has done it all for me. So get started at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off and use code barbknowsbest50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code BARBKNOWSBEST50OFF at factormeals.com/BARBKNOWSBEST50OFF for 50% off plus free shipping.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Hi friends, welcome back to Life Happens. In this episode, my mom and I talk about the topic of grief, the kind that comes with losing someone you love, of course, but also the kind that comes from unexpected life changes, especially like the recent California fires with the loss of homes, routines, and sense of safety. In this episode, we open up about the loss of my dad, my mom's experience with anticipatory grief as a close friend enters hospice, and how to support yourself and others through it all. I really loved this conversation because it reminded me so much about grief in general, that it isn't something that we have to fix, it's something that we feel. If you're navigating loss in any form, this episode is for you. We are so glad you're here. Hey mom, I'm so happy to be sitting with you today. And I always love chatting with you about life and the twists and turns that happen on the journey of life. But today's topic, I'm especially excited to be with you and chat about. It's going to be a good one. But how's it going for you today?
It's good, Michelle. I'm happy to be here too. And you're right. Today's topic is take a deep breath.
I know. How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
It's going to be a heavy lift, but I am excited about it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's interesting how life does have the twists and turns that brings you to a place where you needed to be most, and that will be today's episode for sure.
Yeah, I know we've talked about in past episodes just how wild it is, how life does kind of present situations and the timing in which it does and just how fascinating it all is. And today is no exception. I think one of the most often requested topics that we get to talk about and to dive deeper on. And I know in some of my blogs and some of our other episodes, we've gotten a lot of feedback on the topic of grief and breaking down dynamics of grief and just how to manage our relationships with grief. And I know you're going through a personal, you know, situation right now. And that's why I said it's so interesting how life presents these, you know, it's kind of like parallel tracks that we talk about so often. You know, we're talking about grief today, and not to put you on the spot, but you're also going through it. But it's perfect and it's beautiful because that is life. You know, you never know when things are going to happen or that something is going to shake you or present you with loss and emotions. And, you know, I, of course, feel for you and have so much empathy for the emotions that you're going through, but selfishly and for the content,
yeah,
it's going to be a good conversation today,
yeah,
because, you know, it is so layered. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today.
Me too. And I think it, you know, thank you, Michelle. I'm happy to have this conversation too, and I'm grateful for you and our community here.
Yeah.
It is interesting when, you know, we were planning on talking about grief today, and I get a phone call yesterday that a dear, 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 dear friend of mine is in hospice care and probably not going to be here for much longer. So it is... We don't like what life sends our way sometimes, but when it does intersect like this, it's really profound and meaningful. And I always look at it as, wow, it's really part of my healing. And I don't want to say I'm grateful for the call yesterday.
No.
But it actually is helpful because I'm with you, who I love so much, and being able to talk about experiences with our community is really a blessing. So, yes, it's going to be deep and I might get emotional.
It's okay.
So...
Let it, safe space,
yes.
You can let it out. You know, even being with you yesterday when you got the text, though we're Scorpios. Scorpios talk about death, dying, grief a lot. We've talked about our own personal relationships with grief. You know, my dad, your first husband, passed away in his sleep totally unexpectedly when I was 21, which really, of course, sent me on my grief journey, but also you as well. And a lot of our family has also passed. You know, we're kind of, not to sound grim or morbid, like all each other has left. And so we've had lots of experiences with it. And though we know that it happens and we're experienced in it and we know how to process our feelings, seeing you get your text yesterday and, you know, watching you have the reaction of like, oh my gosh. And though, you know, there's elements of it that it's not so unexpected. It was unexpected. And it's just, you never know. And it does take you out. And I say all of this to say, you can be a grief expert. You can have gone through it a million times. You can be really in tune with your feelings and know how to process. With all of that still, you're going to feel pain. You're going to experience the emotion. You're going to feel shock and you're going to feel uncomfortable. And I think, Mom, what would you say about that in this particular chapter of your life with grief, being someone who's so experienced with grief?
Whoa.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I know I set you up for
Don't be sorry. That's a beautiful question. And I think that to start, yes, we've had a lot of experience with grief. And I think in one of our prior episodes of the podcast, I talked about, I felt like I was brought into this earth to be the death person. Because as a young child, you know, I'm the oldest of five children and my parents were we didn't have a lot of money. And when someone would die, like my grandmother or great grandmother, or I had a cousin die, I had a nephew died. When someone would die, I would be the one that would go attend the funeral with my dad. And my mom would stay back with the other four kids. And I bet I attended, you think about four sets of grandparents and one set of great grandparents and this young little nephew that died and cousins and aunts and uncles. I bet I went to 20 funerals before I was the age of 15.
That's a lot.
It was a lot.
Some people don't go to a funeral until they're an adult.
It was a lot. And I remember as a... you know, as a 16-year-old babysitting, you know, for a family, and the little young 2-year-old's mother died. So it's a lot, and I was with her. So it is a lot, but there's always been a part of me that there was a part of me, even as a young person, doing all of this, feeling sad and feeling all of the feelings of death, but also feeling like this is a great privilege. It's a weird thing when I think back on it. I know I've gone in all my years of therapy, which has been a lot. I've talked about this a lot, that it was a weird feeling, even as a young child. I think I was 8, maybe even younger when my great-grandmother died. So it's a weird feeling, but I always had this in me. And I said this often, too, that I didn't feel much like I had a childhood. I felt like I was an adult even as a child. So maybe that goes hand in hand. But I say all that to answer your question in that what I've come to really believe strongly and know to be true is that no one goes through life unscathed. No one can escape death or some semblance of it or be untouched by grief. Just no one. So I think if we know that it is a given. I think what happens, though, as you said yesterday, getting that call yesterday, getting that notice, even though my friend has been on and off sick, I think what happens is we never know when it's going to happen.
It's very unpredictable.
It's so unpredictable. It's so unknown. And we touched on this in last, you know, week's episode, the idea that part of what causes us the most fear and grief or anger or whatever comes up, especially with death, we do go through, I believe strongly, in those five stages, is the unknown. Like, we didn't expect it. We kind of expect it, but you don't really on some level expect it because it's so unknown.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's thrown me for a loop, and it's brought me into a place of memories,
right,
of the friendship, you know, yeah, of all those things.
No, for sure. It is so unexpected. And I think, you know, to your point that no one goes through life unscathed and we all will have our bouts with grief, it doesn't even have to be necessarily, you know, a human. You can,
yes,
major grief with pets, you know, even with the fires that have happened in California earlier this year, massive amounts of grief from loss of homes and your reality as you know it. So yes, of course, none of us will go through life unscathed without facing loss of a loved one. But there's so many opportunities for the emotions and feelings of grief, even outside of that. So the unpredictable nature of it, no one could have predicted that that would have happened in California. And there would be so many people just without their homes, without their belongings, without their day-to-day lives. That's enormous. And no amount of therapy, no amount of, you know, strong foundation from within could fortify you enough to be able to, you know, you're going to be shaken by that. And same with what you're going through right now. It's not unexpected, like we said, but the feelings are there. What I'm finding super interesting about your current experience is how there's kind of a blend of anticipatory grief, you know it's happening, and current grief. And also, I'm loving how you and your group, your friend group, are showing up and being such open communicators about how to show up for someone who's grieving, mm, and also how to show up for yourself who's grieving. We haven't really talked about it that much between the two of us, but I think it's an interesting conversation to have of, you know, when my dad died, like I said, I was 21. You know, we had had other deaths in the family, but having the death of a parent when you think it's not going to be that soon.
He was 59 years old. Yeah.
Right. Unexpected. You know, it's a different experience. And of course, we've talked so much about how you showed up for me in that situation, and you kind of dropped everything in your life to be there for me in my grief. But we haven't really talked about what it was like for you, you know, grieving someone who you were married to, who you were close with, while also showing up for me in my grief. So you're also being kind of given this another situation now where you have your own grief, but you also have to show up for someone who is kind of carrying the heavier load of grief. So I guess how do you balance those two feelings of your own emotions while also trying to show up for someone else?
I think that's a really good question. For me, I think leading with the conversation of me being kind of the funeral or the death person, you know, and I think back on it with your dad dying in his sleep, talk about unexpected death when someone goes to sleep and then doesn't wake up, it's such an extraordinary loss and such a shocking loss. And I love that you're bringing up anticipatory grief, because I know in the span of like 5 years, we lost your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my best friend. She also died at 57. And so when you think of all those deaths in that particular framework, it's a lot to try to take in. And I think one of the things that I've really... There are so many answers to your question that I have. But one of the greatest things that I think has helped the most, first of all, way, way, way back in the day when Elizabeth Kubler Ross's book, The Five Stages of Dying or The Five Stages of Grief, helped me tremendously reading that book. The idea, the feeling and the knowing and the belief that there are certain stages. And I know now as life has progressed and as time has progressed, we look at those stages because we're such people that want things concrete.
Yeah.
Oh, it's this and it's this and it's this and I'm going to move through like that.
You want an equation to get through it.
Yeah, and then we're going to be done. And that's not how I believe her. I had the opportunity of being on a retreat with her. I met her. So it's not how her five stages of grief were meant to be. They're like benchmarks. Like, okay, the first thing you're going to feel is denial. You're going to feel some sort of shock. So I think no matter what kind of death it is, even this of my friend, you feel like, oh my gosh, that can't be true. Mm-hmm. Even if they've been sick or even because it's just the normal reaction that we have inside of ourselves, I think, as human beings. Oh my gosh, the denial that that person is no longer here in their physical form. So I think honoring myself that way, that it's okay. I don't have to feel embarrassed that, well, he's been sick. Mm-hmm. And he's lived a nice age. Why am I feeling this way? You know, so being kind and gentle with yourself is the very first thing, not trying to judge. Why am I feeling this way?
And the acceptance of what you're feeling.
Yeah, and the acceptance of what I'm feeling, not necessarily acceptance of what's happening. So you really have to be in touch with your feelings. And what has made this, I feel, easier for us, who are the friends that are here trying to support, is that the person, that the people that are going to be left behind, the family that's left behind from the death, is letting us know what they need, which is amazing to me. It's like, oh yeah, there are certain things that I want to do maybe, but I'm serving myself. The best way I can serve myself is to honor my own feelings that I'm very sad and it's hard to believe, even though it was predictable. But also that, oh gosh, I don't even have to think of how do I need to show up. I'm being given a roadmap of how to show up, as you said. Like, they're showing us, this is what we need, this is what we would like, this is what we want. And I feel like, I just got goosebumps, because I feel like that's such a blessing.
Yeah.
So if we can honor our own feelings while at the same time not feeling like we have to be anything other than what it is we need to be in the moment, and honoring the wishes of the person and the people and the family that's left behind, asking us to show up in this way. If we could look at that as such a relief, really, and such a beautiful way that we can honor ourselves and be there. And I think going through those five stages, which we don't need to go through in this episode, but I think what I've come to the conclusion is, and there's a really beautiful quote that St. Augustine has said, and it changed my life so much in terms of grief and healing and honoring how I feel. And he says this, Hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. Anger the way that things are, and courage to see that not all of these things are going to remain the same. So for me, what that has said over all these years, you know, if you've been listening to our episodes, I went through a deep dive for like 12 years of reading all of the great traditions and religions, is that anger, we are going to feel anger. And then when your dad died, the anger was profound. But then when we can move through the anger and the feelings of it, which you have done so remarkably, I've said this to everyone that I know, and I love it on our podcast and all the work we do, is you have done such an incredible, extraordinary job of moving through all the phases that needed to be moved through in your own experience of your dad's death. Because then we come out the courage to know, wow, this is part of life.
Yeah.
And things change. So I would turn the question back on you. As you were experiencing the death of your father 1 week before you were going back to your last year at university, the trauma of that, we were on an airplane going on a mother-daughter trip before you went back to school.
Yep.
And we landed to 1 million text messages from everyone telling us what had happened. How have you been able to process, how have you gotten to where you are today and been able to process the death of your dad and not him dying in his sleep, which I think is very traumatic.
Yeah.
And then also knowing that you were leaning on me, and even though we were divorced, we still loved each other very much. We were the best of friends. How has it been for you as my daughter and the daughter of your father who passed away to navigate all the emotions and all the feelings and come out the other side the way you have?
It is an interesting, you know, I do believe that grief is not linear. Rather than trying to get rid of it, it's more of like cultivating a relationship with it. And you go through stages, you have all of the feelings that come along with it. You try to embrace it as much as you can, because for me at least, and it's been quite a few years now, it's like all you have left is of that person is the grief. And I've said this in some of my blogs and in, you know, some of our other episodes of like, you know, grief is a reminder of a love that you had. And just because that relationship has changed, the person isn't in their original form, they're no longer here physically, it doesn't mean that the love goes away or that the feelings go away. It's just in a different form. And that's been helpful for me. Feelings don't just go away. Love doesn't just dissipate when someone passes. Having someone pass unexpectedly in their sleep is super traumatic and unexpected in its own way. But I think in the flip side is true. It would be equally as difficult to have to be present to it in a way that you've had to be with your parents. You've been in the room with both of your parents when they've passed, watching them deteriorate in illness. And that's a whole different experience. So I'm curious what that was like for you. And, you know, you're also kind of going through that again.
You know, I think what you just said, though, I would love for you to repeat that because that is my favorite. Because you asked me how have I navigated all of this? And this is what I think is so beautiful about our relationship and the relationship between what can be between a parent and a child or a mother and a daughter is we learn from each other.
Yeah,
we grow from each other. We heal with each other. Like your empathy and your support of me whenever I've been grieving through both of my parents, your grandparents, through my best friend, you know, through your dad, you also were there for me.
Through your dog?
Through my dog. So you
passed away
in 2022 during the pandemic. So you've always been there for me and I'm there for you. So I think that's one thing to really, really lean on each other. If you're a family, lean on the other person. Don't try to hide it.
Yeah.
Don't try to protect. I think the idea of me trying to protect you from something is not in your best interest, nor mine, nor the relationship. And so I think how I have grown is I would love for you to repeat that because I love that so much because it's changed everything. That last part of what you just said in your healing process changes everything when we're dealing with grief.
Grief is a reminder of a love that was present. And even though that love is no longer in its original form, that love still exists.
Exactly. And it's that no longer that love is still in its original form that has really transformed my relationship and my ability to move through the healing process. So I got the call yesterday about my friend. Yes, I'm feeling all the sadness and the feelings that go along with missing the person and the feelings that I have for his family and all of that. But I also know deep, deep, deep within me that he's going to still be with me.
Right.
The love that I have for him, the feelings that I have for him and his family and his children and all of that are always going to be with me,
right,
just like it is for all the other people that have passed away in my life. That matters. I think that really, really, really matters. It matters if you can get that. You know, there's an Orthodox saying that says, we as humans can get things into the head pretty easily. I can read a book. Mm-hmm. I can get something into my head and think about it. But sometimes it can take a lifetime to get it into the heart.
Yeah.
And so I believe that the work that we try to do and the work that we are doing and how I feel about the work that I'm doing for myself in my own life is how can I shorten the time that I get it to my heart? Mm. When I say feeling that deeply that your dad is still here in a different form, all of the people that I've just mentioned that have passed away are still here in a different form. My friend, mm-hmm, when he passes away, he will still be with me only in a different form. And we can get that deeply and really believe that. That gives us the courage that St. Augustine was talking about, gives us the courage to know that we can go on in a different way with the people that have passed away, and actually our lives can be more enriched. We can feel more brave. We can feel more of the love. You and I laugh a lot about your dad because he had his quirks. Let's, you know, all the people that we know in our lives, even when they pass away or even when we've had difficulty, even if we love them the most, there's always those little quirks.
Yeah, of course.
And you and I have gone back and forth a lot and saying, well, we don't have to worry about that. Your dad is in the pure love form. Like I have so much love, and the things that were not so great while we were in this body form are gone.
Don't matter anymore.
Yeah, they don't matter anymore.
And I know we've said this in other episodes, and we'll probably say it in episodes to come, if you can try and find the humor and the levity of a bad situation or a tough situation or a hard situation, it helps. I find that when dad died, you know, having friends that, you know, showed up and brought levity, brought laughter, it makes a world of difference to be able to laugh and joke about a situation you know, can change the energy. But I wanted to go back to support for grief and showing up for people who are grieving and talk more about how we communicate what we need. You know, I think communication in general is hugely important in relationships, and I know we've talked about that a lot in our work. We're not mind readers. What I might need and what you might need are going to be different, and I can't know for sure what your needs are or how you need me to show up for you. But it's especially true during a grieving situation. I think we have these rules or ideals or expectations in our minds of what we think we should, you know, be doing for people or for someone who's going through a loss. And that's not always what people need. And like you had mentioned at the beginning of the episode, it's been great that the communication has been clear of what's needed. And so can you talk a bit about the communication, about being clear and then respecting the needs and not thinking that you know better? Because that also happens too. Being like, I know you say this, but I think you mean this.
Yeah, that's so true, Michelle. I think you'd asked me a question earlier too about how did I navigate? How did I manage my feelings about your dad passing away? And I think it goes hand in hand with what you're asking me now. I asked myself, you know, you have to be able to, when you're grieving, I believe strongly that we need a relationship with ourselves, that the foundation of our lives starts with the relationship that we have with ourselves. The relationship that I have with myself is the foundation of every other relationship that I have in my life. So I believe that. I know that deep within. And so I ask myself, what do I need? So the fact that my friends in this situation know what they need and they're communicating it, it's as simple as that.
And it takes out the guessing game.
Because I think we're not good as humans of asking ourselves, what do I need?
Yeah.
We just bypass that. For whatever reason, as you said, we want the other person to be a mind reader, or we think we're not deserving enough to ask for what we need. Oh, I don't want to be a burden, or I don't want to ask them.
Especially your generation are not used to asking for
what we need.
Or vocalizing your needs.
Right. So I think the
fear of putting people out, or they're busy, they don't need to worry about me, it's huge.
And that's why I start with the relationship that you have with yourself is the foundation, because if you're feeling you're not deserving, that's a red flag for me.
Right.
I am deserving. We are all deserving of our feelings. Feelings aren't facts. Feelings aren't final. Feelings come and go. They don't last forever. This too shall pass. You and I talk about that a lot. That is a mantra that we use all the time.
Yep.
So we have to understand that our feelings are not going to last. They are going to pass. So we need to honor them in the moment so that they do pass through us, so then we can get clearer. So I feel like my friends in this situation must really be in touch with what they need, and they're honoring themselves. So they're honoring the relationship that they have with themselves, and they're honoring the relationship that they have with their loved one who's passing away. Mm-hmm. And that is everything. And I think this, you're right, this example is making it so crystal clear that it makes the grieving person or the people that are around trying to, like we're flailing about what can we do to help, what can we do to be there? We can just be there and wait for our assignment or wait for us. But in the meantime, we can also grieve the loss of the person and the friend and the deep relationship that we've had by asking ourselves, what do we need? Mm-hmm. And so first thing you said to me when I told you yesterday, you said, what do you need, Mom? Mm-hmm. What can I do? How can I show up for you? And I just rewind a little bit to when my dog, Ellie, she's 15 years old. She was very, very sick during the pandemic. My vet said, it's time. And my vet was the most precious human being on the planet because she could tell I did not want it to be time.
You know,
she let me.
I'll interject there for a little levity of our own in this conversation.
Can.
You and Ellie had a very tight bond, strong relationship, but Ellie had spent most of her life with some sort of ailment.
She did.
And I often was like, is the vet ever going to give you the signal that it's time? And I remember I see that vet sometimes too for Charlotte. And I went in once and I'm like, what are we doing? What's happening here? And she was like, not yet. And I was like, okay, but we're aware that that one day you will say it's time. And she was very, the relationship that you all had was very special, not typical, I don't think, because she knew that you needed to live out what you felt was your time with her. And it wasn't time until it was time. But I was like, you know, what are we, she's sleeping on the floor. What are we doing? So,
well, I think that,
but when she finally said it, I was like, okay, there well, we go.
And see, yes. And that is the key. So she and I were in sync. And yeah. So she knew what she needed to do.
I couldn't impose my beliefs on it.
Right. But what's beautiful about that is we really look at it. She was in sync with me and she knew that she was doing the right thing. She knew when the time was right for her, for the dog's sake, for the pain and the suffering of Ellie's sake. And she knew it was right for me. But the minute she said, it's time, you need to let her go. It's going to be painful if you don't call it.
Right.
If you let her live through it. You stepped up massively, even though you weren't happy I was sleeping on the floor, even though you weren't happy that I was doing all of these things. The first thing you said to me, Mom, what can I do for you? What do you need? And so I think that's the key. I mean, if that could be the awareness that comes out of this episode for everyone listening, it would be that. Like to be so in touch with what you need. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in touch with what you need, then you can also kind of have some space to allow others to know what they need. Yeah. And when you are serving yourself first, the relationship you have with yourself is the foundation for everything else. I'm going to repeat that a million times. Then you actually can allow other people to have their relationship with themselves. You're not feeling, that's the courage I think that Augustine might have been talking about. The courage to live your life, the courage to know that this too shall pass. Then you can allow others to be who they are. We're so wanting to hold on so tightly because we're not allowing ourselves to be loose and be comforted and to know what it is that we need. I just believe that so much.
Right.
That when we can take care of ourselves deeply, we can then give others the freedom to take care of themselves and just kind of wait. They're going to let me know what they need, or I'm going to ask, what can I do for you?
Right.
And I also wanted to say one more thing. When someone says, what can I do for you? Or how are you feeling? Or what's happening? It's okay to say fine if you're truly feeling fine, but that's not a word that I like to use anymore. I don't even know what fine means.
That's a trigger word for you. If you ask me how I am or if I'm okay and I say fine, you do not let it go. And it's almost annoying, but I get it.
I don't know what fine means. Fine.
I guess what is fine?
I guess
it's not a feeling.
And for me, fine is like, that's a fine painting. I mean, it's like I would use it for an external thing like that. I would not use it for feelings.
It's not a feeling.
Or I would not use it for what's happening in any moment, especially when we're talking about deep feelings of sadness, anger, fear, grief, all of those. So I would not use the word fine. I would use the word sad if I'm feeling sad, or I would use the word confused.
Yeah.
Or I would use the word troubled. You know, use a word that actually can be representative of maybe the feelings, because then it allows you to feel your feelings. We're so scared sometimes. I thought I was going to drown in grief. There was a time, you know, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel.
When?
With major grief, like my mom dying or my dad dying or your dad dying, Ellie dying.
No, that was a big, I wasn't sure how you were going to do with
but
that.
But I trusted. I knew that it was going to be, I knew that I would be okay because of all my beliefs and all my working through healing. But I also knew that it was going to be okay that I felt my feelings. So I was a little concerned that because I knew how your feelings were about my health and my care. Mm. So when you showed up the way you did, Mom, what do you need? What can I do for you?
Feeling healthy, energized, and good about ourselves from the inside out are things that we all desire, but don't always know how to put it into practice. I know firsthand on my own health journey, I've often felt frustrated, confused, and overwhelmed about what to trust, what to believe, and what to do to optimize my health. I've often felt like I've been doing everything right, eating well, exercising, and yet still not experiencing the life that I'm looking for. My energy's been low. I've had mood swings, I've had brain fog, and I've been wondering, where am I going wrong? Which is where Happy Mammoth comes in. I know firsthand how much stress can mess with your hormones and how much hormones can impact our daily health. Happy Mammoth offers a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. You just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz and I absolutely loved learning more about the insights, about the information, about where I'm at now in my life and what I could be doing to help optimize my health and balance my hormones. Happy Mammoth is a company that created Hormone Harmony and is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Happy Mammoth offers a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. And with personalized recommendations from the quiz, you'll know exactly where to start. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you'll also get 15% off your entire first order with our code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BARBKNOWSBEST for 15% off today.
Do you remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took that test myself and the results absolutely blew my mind. By taking the test, I found out my biological age, which directly predicts my risk for serious diseases. And here's why that matters. Research shows that if your biological age is even 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%, which is huge and completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. Of course, it's driven by things like lifestyle, habits, and the environment you're in, but you do still have a lot of control. I took the True Age test and I just learned so much about my health, wellness, and what I can do to be more in control of how I feel and how I'm aging. The test didn't just give me a number, it showed me how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, which of course was eye-opening. The best thing is the test itself is super easy and convenient. I did it from home, no doctor visit or big needles, just a quick, painless finger prick. You send that tiny sample off in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and your health. Fast and hassle-free. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use our code BARBKNOWSBEST to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use code BARBKNOWSBEST at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So I hope this is kind of a full circle of saying that show up in your feelings, acknowledging your feelings, and being okay with what the other person is going to share and not think that you have to control it. Like, I would like maybe to show up more sometimes with other people in their grief, but I want to also honor myself and honor others in the way they need for me to show up.
Yeah.
And that's freedom as well.
Freedom. There she goes
again. I can't always have my own way.
I think that's a great point. And it's kind of, you know, can get lost in the minutia of grief and how you show up for people, where sometimes, you know, if you ask someone, what do they need in a situation? How can I show up for you? And they tell you, or they give you clear feedback, that you should honor it, that you should not, you know, think, oh, well, they're just trying to not put me out. No, they really do want me to show up at their house, or they want me to, you know, cook them all the meals or X, Y, or Z and do whatever you think anyways, kind of compounding the grief or adding on to someone's difficulties by not doing what they're asking for. And I think what you just brought up was such an interesting point with Ellie, with you and me. We've talked about it on the show, but that was a complicated... Ellie and I had a complicated relationship. We all know I have Charlotte. We call her Zen Kitty. She's very chill. Ellie was a very hyper small dog, much kind of like a mirror of our personalities.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Well, we'll put a picture on, you know, social media.
Yeah.
I actually do believe that, like, we start to look like our pets. And I think you looked like Ellie, and I think Charlotte looks like me. I was worried about you. I was worried about your health. You were sleeping on the floor for, I don't even know how long, because the start date is not clear. You didn't tell me, but I know it was longer than I think was good for you. And I know you felt that pressure from me of, I know Michelle is not okay with this. And I feel I'm sorry for that additional pressure that my feelings about the situation placed on you during an already difficult time, because that's the whole point of the situation. I don't want to add to your suffering by having judgments about how you're dealing with a difficult situation or suffering.
And can I just interrupt you for a minute then? This
sure.
is a perfect place because
sure.
this is a perfect thing we're talking about. Yes, you had all of that, but it didn't affect me. I was a little bit sad about it, but I allowed you to have your feelings without trying to change them. But also, I have the relationship with myself. This is what I knew that I needed to do. And I trusted that even though you were feeling this way, and I would say to you, trust me, this is not going to last forever. I'm taking care of myself in the best way that I can right now. Same thing when my mom was dying. You were in middle school, and I know you were worried about me then. You were in middle school. You're like sixth grade, I think, or seventh grade.
Something like that.
And I know you were worried about me because I wasn't sleeping. I was taking care of my mom while she was dying in our home, brought her into our home. But I just trusted myself that I knew what I needed to do for me because I had asked what I needed, and I trusted our relationship that even though you were at the moment were not liking what was happening, it was all going to work out. And I think that's the being brave.
Yeah.
Like, we have to be able to be brave. I just wanted to say that because, look, and I also trusted you. The minute I told you that Ellie, I'm going to yeah. be putting Ellie to sleep tomorrow or whatever day that was like the day or after, you said, what do you need? What can I do for you? So it's like a whole thing. Like, a relationship is a whole complicated thing.
A relationship
thing.
Is a whole complicated
thing. Well, it's like
thing.
A complicated,
yeah.
it is. But being okay with that, like not wanting it to be perfect and not me wanting you to be anything other than you are and vice versa. When we can show up in our own truth and authenticity, I truly believe other people will show up that way too and be comfortable. I think so. And I think because grief is hard, I think that's the thing. And I know I interrupted you and I want you to finish your, no, I
You're
want you
good.
To finish your train of thought. I just wanted to say one more thing. Grief can make us feel like we're going crazy.
As you can see, she's got a lot to say.
Well, grief can make us feel like we're going crazy. I know for me, if I didn't have this relationship and if I wasn't okay with feeling my feelings, I would feel like I'm going into a dark, deep hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd be scared that I might not be able to come back out, or I'd be scared of what version of me might come back out. So I think being clear and knowing what you need and allowing yourself to go through the feelings matters so greatly.
Well, I think, you know, to all of those points, it really feels like managing grief, facing grief, showing up for someone in grief is really based and grounded in truth, honestly. Like, what is true for you in this situation? The
yeah.
communication of it, you feeling strong enough and confident enough to speak what's true for you, and the other person honoring that truth and not trying to sidestep it or think that I know better. You know, you might say, no, I don't want anyone. And actually, this is true. When Ellie was dying, you know, you had made the appointment for someone to come to your house to, you know, do the thing. And you had people say, do you want me to be there? I said, do you want me to be there? Do you want anyone else? And you were very solid in the no. You did not want anyone else. You were good. An example of how sometimes people get when they think that maybe you're just trying to not put someone out or, you know, expose someone else to that pain is like, no, I'll be there because I know that you're just saying that, but you really need someone else there because you can't go through that alone. So I'm going to be there and I'm going to show up. And I could have said that, or in other situations, done something like that, or in the situation you're experiencing, saying, no, I'm going to show up just in case, and kind of going against what the person who's like in the primary position of grief is asking for, because I think I know better, or they think they know better, which is like the whole point of then adding to the difficulty of the situation. Like, can you imagine if I had said, Mom, no, I'm going to come in with you because I think that's better. You would have been like, Michelle, no, I told you no. And like, you don't need that added frustration or irritation in an already challenging time. So I think there's something really beautiful in the grieving process or the anticipatory grief process of having the connection of what you want, being able to vocalize what you need, and having a person on the receiving end that will get it and respect it as a boundary. Like, this is what I need. And I can say, okay, I get that. If something changes, let me know.
You know what? This is so great. You just have me thinking, we have a whole nother episode on all the what to say and what not to say. I've had so many people ask me this. This is another episode because it's going to be amazing.
Well, what is the one thing you shouldn't say?
Because one thing you shouldn't say, and when you said to me, Mom, do you want me to be there? And I said, no. The next thing you could say is, I'm here for you for whatever you need. Just let me know. That's all. And that's what we as friends are showing up for our friend who's dying right now. When they said, no, we don't, no phone calls, no, you know, this is how we want it to be. We're showing up in the way that they want it to be. But they also said, we will let you know.
And you can trust that.
And the other person could say, we're here for you. So I think it's that, I have goosebumps just saying that. I think being here for people, mm-hmm. like there is nothing greater in the world for me anyway, is to know that I have one other person who's here for me. And so
you have a lot of people that are there for you.
Yes. And I think most of us have more than we think.
Yeah.
But we're so busy not really honoring the relationship we have with ourselves. And we're so busy trying to second guess or trying to micromanage the stuff instead of just owning how we're feeling and being truthful, as you use that word, truth. I would ask you, Michelle, to share, what are some of the strategies? What are some of the coping things? You know, and we use that word coping, and sometimes the word coping to me is so layered. You use that word a lot too. So layered, you know, sometimes we're in coping mechanisms, sometimes we're in healing.
Right.
Like coping kind of leads sometimes to the healing, because as we've talked about so often, healing is a journey. Healing is a process.
There's no destination.
I love that. No destination. You also started this episode. It's not linear.
Yeah.
So what are some of the strategies or some of the tools or some of the ways that you work through the healing process or work through the grief?
You know, it's interesting. I had a lot of judgment about what being in grief looked like physically, like the physical manifestations of grief. Back in that time, you know, I didn't want people to see me cry. I even remember, I mean, this is kind of a morbid story, but like being in the, you know, funeral service for Dad in the church and like, you know, obviously wanting to cry, but feeling like I can't let anyone see me cry or be, you know, messy in that way. And I don't love it when people see me cry. So that's something I'm still working on, which is why it's a journey, not a destination. But I think being able to let yourself express whatever you need to express or be messy, like it's okay to be messy in a grieving journey and let whatever comes up. And not put yourself on a timeline. We talked about that so often with Dad. I thought that, you know, a year was up, I had to be over it. You know, I had all the first birthday, the anniversary, the first missed big event. Once you hit all those, you should be good. And come to find, especially because our situation was so unexpected and there was a lot of other dynamics at play with Dad's death, didn't have a will, left things a little messy himself, most of the first year was spent cleaning up the mess. And so in the second year, third year, I'm like, oh, now I'm like really sad because the first year was survival mode and a little bit angry. And I'm like, am I allowed to be this sad 2 or 3 years into it? Am I allowed to be sad 20 years into it? It'll be 20 years soon-ish. So like letting go of the timelines and the rules of what you think you're allowed to do. You're allowed to be sad at any time and letting that go. And, you know, we haven't talked a lot about tools in this episode, but I think journaling is a great practice for grief. Yeah. Giving those sad thoughts a home so they're not taking up space in your brain. They're valid. They're what you're feeling and what you're going through in the moment. But I don't necessarily think that you need to hold on to some of those feelings. And so like letting them go and putting them on paper and just processing all of it in a journal was really helpful for me.
I love that because I think you can't really hold on to feelings. Feelings want to move through us. And I think I love that you say that journaling is giving your thoughts and your feelings a home.
Yeah.
Because it's really a practical thing that we can do. And even if you don't feel like it's going to work, just do it. Just try it. It's that there is something to be said for, we like destinations. And so what I love about your practice of journaling, and you've taught me this over the years, because let's talk a little bit about how you and I have been on this healing journey together with the passing of your dad, with the death of your dad. And you've taught me that, that idea, just that visual. I'm a very, very visual person. So just the visual of giving your thoughts a home, because we like to get things to the end, is really powerful. It's not only getting the feelings out or getting the thoughts out, you're also doing it to an end, so to speak.
Well, to give it a place to live. I think of it as, think about if you have a to-do list or, you know, you're at work and you have to remember to go pick up the dry cleaning on the way home, but you haven't written it down. It's going to be in your brain. Now, don't forget to go pick up the dry cleaning on the way home from work. Don't forget. Your brain is going to hold on to it because it doesn't want to forget. That's how I think about thoughts and things like that. If you don't give it somewhere to go, it's going to just be stored somewhere in your brain going over and over. And especially in heightened emotional situations, it's going to be even more so. So if you can take whatever's happening inside your mind and put it somewhere, I mean, and if it's something you want to go back and look at, there it is, or revisit, there it is. But if not, then it's there. That was hugely helpful for me.
Well, I think the fact that you just said earlier, you know, after 3 years, am I even allowed to feel sad? Am I even allowed to grieve?
Yeah.
So that thought could have stopped you from grieving in that moment and told you, no, you can't. So it's very interesting how we do this as humans. We're like, oh, 3 years is up. I'm done. I'm supposed to be done. What's the matter with me? And grief is not like that. So it'd be fun to have a little conversation about, you talk about the love is still there, but just in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could share some of the forms.
That's funny that you just said that. You must be a mind reader because I was just about to go into that.
Well, don't we call each other witches sometimes because
you're a witch.
We kind of know.
I'm a witch.
When you're just really allowing yourself to be exactly who you are and being authentic, it's kind of you know the energy of the other person. You know the feelings of another person. And I think that that's where life, you have those famous quotes or those things that say, you know, life flows, just let life flow. I think that's what it means. It doesn't mean just like the easy breezy, okay, whatever happens, because we're not built that way. We can't just whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
We care deeply. So, but I think it does mean like if we can just be in our own 2 feet in the present moment, then we can allow the other person. So anyway, that was a long digression from that. But yeah, what are some of the forms that you and I in this, I think we're in a very unique situation of being such close mother-daughter and your dad and I being in such a close relationship as friends after we got divorced, we were both grieving very deeply.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
now
I
what's
think
the
it's,
form?
It's. I think this is going to sound sick, but it's kind of fun now because
it is.
Again, we've had a lot of time to process, but you know, we'll see something on the street and we'll say, oh, there's Mickey, or we'll hear a song that, you know, oh, your dad's here. And that's fun. Even what reminded me of this is like the ring that I'm wearing today, I had made. It has Charlotte on it because she's my child. But I also had a little cardinal inscribed on the side for dad. And that's something that I wear often. And it's a reminder and I love it. You know, I see a cardinal in real life. I think of him. And so I put it on something I wear every day and it brings me joy when I look at it. And it brings me joy when I see things in real life that remind me of him or make me think of him. And it's a fun thing to look out for and to have that relationship. And that's why I say that the love doesn't go away because that there's still those feelings. It's in a different
form.
I can't call him and say, hey, I just saw a cardinal, even though sometimes I might. Or, you know, even still to this day, we were talking about this, you know, the other day. We had a ritual where, you know, getting ready to leave on a flight and you would text the person leaving, I'll text you when I land.
You had that with your dad all the time.
And you. I mean,
yes,
if I wasn't with you.
But I remember you saying to me,
with dad,
when he didn't text you back,
you
knew something was wrong and we didn't even know that he had died. You just knew something was wrong.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll kind of, I don't know, space out and be on a plane to this day and be like, oh, I got to text dad. So that's a weird experience. It happens. It's kind of bizarre, but sometimes it's kind of nice too. It's like, oh yeah, that was a thing we did.
But what if we reframed it in this episode right here and now and gave everyone listening the opportunity that it's not weird It's not bizarre. No.
I just meant it's like alarming. It brings back all the feelings.
I know. It is weird. I knew it is. I know we've all these kind of weird things are bizarre. But I think what if we reframed it in a way that the love is still there, but the love is still there and maybe some of the sadness is still there, but also the joy is still there. Yeah. Also the fun in the love is still there. Also the happiness in the love is still there. So how can we celebrate? I think that's what you and I do with each other. This is how I feel we have really moved through the grieving process.
Yeah.
And sometimes we cry, but that's how we've moved through the grieving process with your dad dying, is that we celebrate not just the loss or when the sadness comes over us, we allow ourselves to be sad for that moment. Oh, it's sad your dad's not here. He would have really loved this Greek restaurant that we just went to.
Yeah.
You know, but also we celebrate the joy and the fun and the happiness, because your dad was a very fun-loving, happy, prankster kind of a guy.
Prankster.
I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know what the word I'm looking for.
I wouldn't have described him as prankster, but I'm here for it.
But he had a certain sense of humor.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're talking about, is love is still there, only in a different form. And so I think that that's a beautiful thing when we see something and we say, and I'll say to you, Michelle, your dad's here.
Yeah.
And you'll say, oh, where, Mom? Where?
Yeah.
So I just think it's fantastic
that's it.
And if I could just share one more quote that I think that has helped me.
Sure.
Albert Einstein said this, and it kind of goes in alignment with what we're just talking about now, that I just, maybe that's why I got the call to share it.
She's a witch.
Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only change from one form to another. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only change from one form to another.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can believe that deeply, get it into as much as possible through the healing process, through the journey of healing, which can take the rest of your life. And I had a beautiful teacher say one time, even if it's healing, taking the rest of your life, what a beautiful journey that is.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the path to healing, that it's just really changing into a different form. And if we can really believe that, I think it'll bring a lot more ease, a lot more joy and happiness into our lives. And a lot less fear and regret. I know that's something.
Resistance to it,
acceptance of it, but regret, because we have a lot of regrets as humans, especially when someone passes away.
So true. So I think, you know, hopefully this conversation has opened us up to viewing grief and death and dying in a different lens, and just not placing any judgment on ourselves or on others for how we deal with these complicated and difficult situations of loss. And knowing that grief and loss is personal, it's unique to us. What we might need might not be what we expected it to be.
Mm.
What you might need might not be what you expected. And if there's a way to communicate and vocalize our needs and subsequently honor each other for our own needs without judgment or question or doubt, I think that's a really beautiful way to go through these difficult moments. And then, of course, knowing that the relationship isn't over just because someone's no longer here. The feelings remain, the energy remains, like the Albert Einstein quote. I think that's really helpful to know that it's just in its next chapter. It's this chapter's done and it's on to the other one. And being grace, giving yourself grace, you know, being easy on yourself. And I hope that you're easy on yourself as well.
Yeah.
And anyone who's going through difficult times, be gentle, because life is difficult, like we've talked about, and treat yourself with kindness and care.
Yeah, I think I would really end by saying that treat yourself with the same loving kindness that you would treat your best friend.
Yeah.
Really, really loving, accepting, and trusting yourself completely, and treating yourself the way you would treat the most dearest friend, partner, child that you have in the world.
Yeah. And thanks, Mom, for letting us, you know, dive into this sensitive topic, especially while you're going through it. I know it's not easy to tap into those feelings, you know, for all of us. And we're grateful for you, and I'm grateful for you.
Well, it's an honor to be here.
Yeah. Love you.
And I love you.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. We're so glad you're here with us. Life's full of unexpected twists, and we're all in it together. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe to Life Happens wherever you listen.
And maybe share this with a friend who could use a reminder that we're all just figuring it out one step at a time. Drop your questions in the comments. We'd love to hear from you and might just dive into them in a future episode.
And if you're looking for more ways to cultivate mindfulness and personal growth, check out our website, peacefulmindpeacefullife.org, our foundation dedicated to mental well-being and empowerment.
Until next time, keep embracing the chaos, keep learning through the mess, and most importantly, keep riding the waves of life. See you next week, friends.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.